Well, I hope y'all are excited to be here today, this beautiful day, which is the Lord's Day, and we get to celebrate the Lord's Supper on this day. And June just sang us a song that reminded us of a great aspect of our faith. Isn't it good to know that our faith isn't based on how tight we're holding on to God, but how tight He's holding on to us?
Yes.
I mean, our security is that He's the one that's holding us, because I don't know about you, but I'm pretty weak and pretty faithless, but our God is faithful, and He will never, never let us go. Recently, or at least the past few weeks and months, we've been spending a lot of time in the Old Testament, and we're going to continue to do that, except for today. A special day, and we're going to go to the New Testament. So open to the book of Acts if you have a copy of the New Testament with you. Just going to read three verses from Acts chapter 2, and I'll read verses 40 to 42 as we get ready to prepare our hearts and minds for the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And if you have it and you're willing and able, please stand. And in fact, I'm going to go ahead and put in a plug right now for tonight's study on translations. I usually read out of the NIV, but today I'm going to read out of the New King James Version, just to mix it up a little bit. But we're going to read three verses here from Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse number 40. And let's do give attention to these holy and inspired words as we get ready and continue on in our worship service. "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." And let's go to our Lord for a time of prayer. Our God and Father, we come today as your people to inadequately praise your name. For Lord, you alone are holy. You are the living God, the creator of all things, the sustainer of our physical lives. And Lord, we thank you that you are the lover of our souls. Father, we thank you for giving us to your Son as his bride. Lord, that he has loved us and given himself for us, and wants to fellowship with us in this meal today. Father, by your Spirit, stir our hearts in love for you. For Father, Son, and Spirit, Lord, might we enjoy just a little bit of fellowship with you this day, as well as fellowship with each other, as we are one in your beloved Son. And I pray these things in his wonderful name. Amen and amen. And you may be seated. Well, have you ever thought about just why it is that we come to church? You know, I mean, why do we show up here, you know, every week? You know, why is it so important? And when we do so, what are some of the elements that we should focus on when we come to church? I mean, what are the essential elements that we ought to be about when we gather together as God's holy and redeemed people? Well, the text that I have just read from Acts chapter 2 lists five priorities for the gathering of the local church. Here, the setting of this is where Peter is preaching at Pentecost, and he's preaching this message, And the text says that those who heard the message that he preached, which is kind of summed up by him saying, be saved from this perverse generation. That was the message that he preached, and that was the message that they heard. And about 3,000 that day, it said that they gladly received it. They heard this message and they gladly received it to themselves. And then it says what they did. First, they were baptized. About 3,000 were baptized that day. Then it says that this new gathered together group of people, this new body of believers, this baptized body of the church, then they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. That they wanted to know what the apostles taught, what the Lord Jesus, who sent these 12 out with his instructions command us everything that he has taught them. So they were baptized. They devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. Then it says they were steadfastly in the fellowship with one another. They fellowship with one another as fellow redeemed believers. Then it says that they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And a not nice little phrase referring to the Lord's Supper. You read it several times in the book of Acts. They went from house to house. They broke bread. One of the things that they did was they broke bread together in the Lord's Supper, which is what we're going to do today. And then it says that they devoted themselves to prayers. These are just five essential elements. This is what we ought to be about when we come together as God's holy people. We baptize. We give attention to the apostles' doctrine. We fellowship with one another. We take the Lord's Supper and we pray. This is what we are to be about. And today we are going to focus on one of these, particularly the Lord's Supper. But I hope we can at least in this, as we prepare ourselves, at least touch on all five. I hope that as we get ready to eat of this supper, that we can remember the great privilege that we have, that we have heard the message. That we have heard the message to be saved from this perverse generation. Did you know it's estimated that between 1 and 2 billion people in the world today have never heard the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, how privileged we are to hear the message. And we ought to be motivated to get that message out. But we've heard the message. And so let's be thankful for that today. As well as the grace that has been given to us. Not just that we have heard the message. But as believers, by grace, we have gladly received the message. I mean, what a great mercy of God that we're here today. We've heard the message. We believe the message. And we're going to partake of the message in just a little bit. And I hope as we get ready to partake of the message in the meal, maybe during the rest of this service, maybe you can think a little bit about your baptism. You know, there's 3,000 were baptized. Maybe you can go back in your mind's eye and you can remember that time that you stood before a group of people in a body of water, and there you confessed your faith in the Lord Jesus. You declared yourself to be a sinner with Jesus Christ as your only Savior, and you were buried in the waters of baptism. Maybe you can remember back to that day, to where you identified yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that as we go on in this message and preparing ourselves, that we will also give a little bit of attention to the apostles' teaching. Well, we'll make some references to the some scriptures as we know what the apostle teaches us, maybe just about the Lord's Supper and how we're all going to partake together at the same time. This is giving attention to what the apostles of our Lord instructed us on how to do this. And also that in doing that, we can fellowship with one another. The church is one body. We are one loaf. We are together and we are to fellowship with each other as well as with our great God and Savior as we come to this table and we break bread together and we drink a cup. You know, that this is what we're to be about. You know, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. You know, so sometimes the church can get distracted all sorts of extraneous things, and we do this and we do this, but Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. This meal is very, very important. And I hope that during this service, before we partake, that I want to encourage us to pray. Just as you're sitting there, or maybe we will pray together, but the early church devoted themselves to prayer. And so before we partake of this sacred meal, I hope that we can take a time and pray. In fact, let's just do that right now. Our Father, again, we come to you. Lord, make us acceptable worshipers. Prepare our hearts and our minds for this memorial meal where we come and we can be close to each other and we can be close to you. Lord, help that to be the case this day. Amen. Well, before we get ready to partake of the meal, I do want to mention a few things. That's not the whole sermon, so I hope, you know. If you thought we were getting out right, it's like, oh wow, you know, we're going to get out early. But before we do partake of this meal, this meal is a solemn celebration. It is both. It is solemn. It's a somber time for us in the sense that we do come here today and we do think about our sin. A sin in general, sin in the world, our own personal sin, and all of its woeful consequences. We do think about our falling short of God's glory, and that is solemn to us. But it is a solemn celebration. Because though we are sad about our sin, we celebrate as we think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and Him absorbing our consequences for us. It is a solemn, solemn celebration. In fact, listen to this great hymn of the faith. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut His glories in. When Christ the mighty Maker died, the man therefore creature's sin. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. I mean, this is, in fact, a solemn celebration, but we do celebrate. We are happy all the day because our Maker died for us. This is a solemn celebration, but this meal is also simply profound. I mean, it is a very, very simple meal. Two very simple and small elements, a little piece of bread and a little cup of juice. And in fact, it's even more simple now this past year, and we've gone to these packaged little deals here, you know. I'm kind of looking forward to get back to the way it was, and we can pass the way it was. But it is a very simple meal, even regardless of how we used to do it or do it now. It's really not much of a meal. You know, if I was to invite you over to the house and I say, you know, would you come over for supper? And you were to come, maybe your family, and you were to sit down, and I gave you a little piece of cracker, and I gave you a little shot glass full of juice, and you might say, Tim, that's it? Yeah, I mean, this is a supper? You know, and yet this is the Lord's supper. It's not much of a meal if you miss the meaning. You see, and it's all the meaning behind the meal. And this is a very meaningful meal. Meaningful means this is full of meaning. This, it is simply profound, a profound meeting. It is mysterious and mystical. It is a memorial meal that is simply and practically profound, that we come to something very simple, and yet it tells us of something essential and eternal. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, beyond all contradiction, great is the mystery of godliness, because God was manifested in the flesh. And we are reminded of this, because when we take this meal, we are reminded of the incarnation, where we read in John chapter 1 and verse 14 that the Word who was God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When we get ready to take this meal and we see that this little piece of bread, we're reminded that God was born like us. He became a man. The eternal God took on flesh. Do you know the best way to celebrate the birth of Christ? Is with the broken bread. Because that is what he said. He said, you do this in remembrance of me, that though he was equal with God, yet he made himself of no reputation, and being found in the appearance of a man, he came in flesh, and he humbled himself in the appearance of the man, and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And that's why God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, there is such great meaning in this little simple elements of the bread and the wine. I tell you, we are here today to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, listen to this, a great hymn of the faith. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Beautiful Savior, Lord of all nations, Son of God and Son of man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forevermore be thine. I mean, we are here today to worship and to praise the fairest Lord Jesus. And you know, this meal that we're about to partake is not only symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ himself and his blood and his body and his substitution in the place of us as sinners, but you know that the partaking of this meal, the very act of eating this meal, is symbolic of our personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to open up the little top and take out a little piece of bread, and I'm going to reach there and I'm going to pick it up. And it's almost a picture of me reaching out by faith and laying hold of the body of Christ as he bore my sins in his own body on the tree, that by faith I reach out and I grab him. And not only that, but I receive him into myself. He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you know, we take him into ourselves as a picture that he is our life-giving nourishment. This meal today declares to us what we believe, that Jesus Christ is our life. He is our staple. He is our everything. He is my daily bread and my joyful wine. I tell you what, why don't we just take a moment and pray. In fact, I'm going to pray. In fact, I'll ask if any of you would like to utter a short public prayer of praise to the fairest Lord Jesus and give him worship in a voice of prayer. Please feel free to do so. Our Jesus, we love you. We come before you knowing that we are not worthy, but Lord, you alone are worthy, because with your blood you purchased men from God out of every tribe, language, people, and nation. Jesus, we thank you that you loved us and came to redeem us and you are Lord, and you are King.
Dear God, you are light, and in that light there is no darkness. And because of our sins, Father, in Jesus' name, you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. And by going through Jesus, accepting that He is your Son, that we have life, and we will have life more abundantly. Thank you for the blood of Jesus.
Father, hear from heaven these prayers of praise, and Lord, answer with a closeness in our heart here today. Amen. Well, as we continue on just a bit, I want us to rehearse just a little bit of some of the history of redemption and some things that we ought to think about before we eat of this simply profound a meal. I want you to consider and to think a little bit about how you were made. There's something very unique about us in creation. The Scripture tells us that we are made in the very image of God. We're special. We're unique. We are created with purpose and made in God's image. We have this capacity to reflect His image in knowledge and righteousness and holiness. He's made us in a unique way, different from the other creatures, with a special capacity for communion with God. I mean, isn't that something that we can fellowship with the Creator of our body, soul, and spirit? He has made us for fellowship with Him, to commune with Him. In fact, one of the terms that we use of this meal, it's called communion, because we commune with our Savior and we commune with each other. But we are to have fellowship with God. We're made in His image. And, you know, I think it was St. Augustine that said of us that we are all restless until we find our rest in Him. And that is because He has made us in His image. We are made to be in a loving relationship with our Creator. But our sin wrecked all that. About our sin has cost us deeply, and we are to reflect on that because when we sinned, our first parents sinned, and then us and them, and then all of our personal sin, our sin breaks things, and it brings death to things. Namely, it broke our relationship with God and made a death in our relationship with God, and our fellowship with God was broken because of our sin. And as we come to this meal and the solemn aspect of it, we are to remember what it's like to be separate from God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 said that there was at one time that we were separate from Christ. That we were without God and without hope in the world. That when we are out of relationship with God, we are in a hopeless state of existence. Our sin has caused that. It's cost us much. And then think about not only our sin, but then you remember God gave the law. And think about when He gave the law, the Ten Commandments that thundered down from Sinai, and all the people trembled and they thought that they were going to die, because you know that law was not meant to save us. That law stood opposed to us, because what all the law says to us is you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't measure up. You fall short. That the law, God gave us the law not to save us, but to show us our sin. Because Romans 3:20 says that by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. But by the law, we understand what sin is. And so this is something that also that brings us together. Listen to a Rock of Ages here. We'll find it. That how the law, we are to have no confidence in the law. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. I tell you, we don't do away with the law, but we look at the law and say, we can't do it. I am a sinner that falls short of the glory of God. And the purpose of the law that He gave us sinners was not just to show us our sin, but Galatians 3:24 says the law is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. When I read of all of my shortcomings, God's perfect and holy standard, it's like my school teacher that is racking me on the knuckles and it says, you can't do it, but it says Christ did it. Don't look to yourself and your sin and your own achievement and your own works, but look to Christ. He did it all. I tell you, there was a hymn I read this week that really ministered to me, and I don't know the tune of it, but listen to this hymn. It's number 168 in your hymnal. It's called Free from the Law, O Happy Condition. It says, Free from the Law, O Happy Condition. Jesus has bled, there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace has redeemed us once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O friend, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ has redeemed us once for all. Now we are free, there's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me, oh, hear His sweet call. Come and be saved. Save us once for all. Once for all, oh, sinner, receive it. Once for all, oh, friend, believe it. Cling to the cross. The burden will fall. Christ has redeemed us once for all. Children of God, O glorious calling, surely His grace will keep us from falling. Just like your song to today, June. He's going to keep us from falling, passing from death to light at His call. Blessed salvation, once for all. Once for all, sinner, receive it. Once for all, friend, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ has redeemed us once for all. I tell you, that's just good. That's the gospel. Yes, we're sinners. I can't keep the law. But Jesus kept it for us. And that's why we come to this meal, because we are to think about Him. We are to think about the gospel. And we are to remember that Jesus is the gospel. I mean, you know, we say, you know, there's the four gospels, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're about the life of Christ because Jesus is the good news. Who He is, His person, His work, what He accomplished. He is the gospel. And so if you think about the gospel, we need to think about Jesus before we take of this meal that pictures Jesus. We ought to think about His sinless life. That when God became flesh and dwelt among us, that He lived a perfect and sinless life. Never a sin, never a bad thought, never a bad word. In fact, even His enemies say, I have find no fault with this man. And Jesus asked the Pharisees, which of you can prove me guilty of sin? And no one could find one sin against the perfect, innocent Lamb of God. He lived a perfect life, and we ought to think about this righteousness that He earned, because you know Jesus not only died for us. I mean, we focus on His death and His redemption and the substitutionary atonement, and we ought to do that, especially, you know, we're going to drink the cup. But He didn't just and only die for us. He lived for us. Do you know that when he lived his life for those years that he kept the law in our place? Jesus earned a righteousness that I am required to give and can't do it, but he earned it for me. And so when God the Father thunders down from the heavens a couple of different times and says, "This is my beloved Son, with him I am well pleased." Oh, by faith I can say, "Jesus is mine." And so the only way God is pleased with me is to be in Christ. He earned a goodness for me. And you know, Jesus gives us his righteousness. He not only takes our sin by his death, but by faith in him, we receive all that he is, all the merits that he earned, and all of his goodness that he earned. We get it by faith. And that's why Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." Because in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. It's first for the Jew and then for the Gentile, but it is a righteousness by faith. And when we reach out and we lay hold of Christ and we take his body and we take his blood and by faith, we get everything that he is. All of his goodness. And so, yes, I'm sorry for my sins, but I'm so thankful for all of his righteousness. Because 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might be made the righteousness of God." I mean, that is the gospel. In fact, listen, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I tell you, we ought to immerse ourselves in who Jesus is, because he is the gospel, before we take of his meal. And we ought to also rest in God's grace that's shown in the gospel. You know, we're required to be, if we're to be biblical, and if I mean biblical in preaching, required to talk about sin. It's not a fun subject. Sin is a bummer. Sin is a downer. But we have to acknowledge it, and we have to deal with it. And you know, how do we deal with sin? Or how is sin best dealt with? Grace is the best way to deal with sin. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. And fellow believers, we come here today as the sinner. The wretched one. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved an all right guy like me. No, a wretch like me. We're the sinner, but God's grace is greater than all our sin. Think about your sin in general. Think about your personal sin and weep over it and repent of it. But oh, don't stay there. Relish in God's grace. Dear Christian, if your sin has you down this morning, if you're in a low place because of much sin, good. It's good to feel bad about your sin. You need to deal with it. You need to confess it. It is a solemn time, and part of the gospel is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But this is a solemn celebration. Yes, we in a somber way talk about our sin, but we celebrate and we rejoice and we rest in Christ, who by grace pays for our sin. I tell you, we come here today and we acknowledge our own unworthiness, our own sinfulness, our own wretchedness, and we are worm-like creatures. We are unworthy, but do you know that our unworthiness is what makes us welcome at this table.
Yes, sir.
This table is for redeemed sinners. We don't earn it. Jesus did it all. In fact, if you're really concerned, maybe that, you know, I don't know if I should partake this morning. Well, if you're a believer and you have believed and received Christ, listen to this hymn. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Oh, but he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leper's spot and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Oh, that sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow." I'll tell you, we're getting ready to partake of the meal. And let me just, you notice I'm kind of reading some hymns today. You know, two of the best books we have is the Good Book and the Hymn Book. And to learn good doctrine by some of these songs is great. Listen to this one as we get ready to partake. And could I ask a couple of the deacons to come up and to go ahead and to remove the cloth while I read this? "Thy supper, Lord, before us spread, the cup beside the broken bread, reminds us of thy life laid down, the shameful cross, the thorny crown. Thy sacrifice was for our gain. To save us, thou didst bear the pain. Thy love is clear for all to see. We bow in thankful prayer to thee. In fellowship with thee we feel that thou art here and thy presence real. For thou hast risen and dost live within our hearts new life to give. Now may the worship that we know here remind us always that thou art near. Help us to live our lives each day in love and faith. O Lord, we pray." And could I ask one of the deacons just to lead us in a corporate prayer? Down that mic there.
Heavenly Father, it's so humbling for us to bow before you and to give you honor and praise and glory for what you have done for us, the sacrifice that you made for us that we might have eternal life. And Father, as we partake of this juice and of this bread as a remembrance of what you have done for us, we just pray, Father, that you would honor and glorify it and help us to be a better Christian wherever we are. We ask these things in Christ's name.
Well, before we do get ready to partake, I do want to say that here at Classen Boulevard, we do observe what is called an open communion. That is that it is open to those that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not necessarily have to be a member of this particular body of believers, but if you are a member of Christ's body in His universal church, and you are a baptized believer with an open confession of the Lord Jesus Christ that is evident in your life, that then this table is open to those that are His bride. It is a believer's meal. But I do want to set some restrictions around this meal, because this meal is for redeemed believers only. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ by a personal faith in Him, repenting and believing and being baptized, if you are not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then this meal is not for you. This is a family reunion. This is a family meal where we come together to fellowship with each other and to fellowship with our God. And so just know that maybe you see these elements and maybe I shouldn't partake, but let it remind you that you are outside of Christ. That you are outside of God, without hope and without God in the world. But let it also be known to you that Christ is offered to you. That the message of the gospel goes out. And Christ, the only Savior of sinners, is offered in His body and His blood. And He just says, reach out by faith. Believe in Me and you will be saved. But if you have not believed, then do not partake of the bread. Also, even for us as believers, before we partake, we ought to examine ourselves and to kind of patch things up if things aren't right between us and our Lord or between us and our neighbor. And you ought to take this time and make things right. We are to examine ourselves. The Apostle Paul says we ought to judge ourselves so that we will not come under judgment. Because to partake in an unworthy manner says we can't eat and drink judgment on ourselves if we misuse this sacred and simple meal. We ought to be able to discern the body. If you can't look at this little prepackaged deal and see what this represents, if you don't know what the little round wafer, if you don't understand what that means, if you don't know what this little sip of juice, if you don't understand that, then do not partake of this meal, because it's not just a little piece of bread and a little sip of juice. We are to be able to discern the Lord's body. Now, what we're going to do here, we do have the elements here. There's some in the back also. And I'm just going to ask you to, you can just get up from your seats. You can come either to the front or to the back. You can get it. Go back to your seat. Then we will cue you as we will take the bread together. And then with a pause. And then we will take the cup together. So please get up and you can come and get that. And while you do that, I'll sing a hymn. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned He stood, sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior, guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was He to die. It is finished was His cry. Now in heaven, exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And when He comes, our glorious King, all His ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Well, as we get ready to partake of the bread, remember that He bore our own sins in His body on the tree. Jesus said, "Lo, I have come to do Your will, O God, and a body You prepared for me." In the flesh, the God-man kept God's law in our place. He took our sins and they were imputed to His flesh, to His body. And that body was broken on our behalf. Take a moment and to thank the Lord. Rejoice, repent, celebrate. And then I will cue us and we can all partake of the bread together. And he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Would someone like to return a prayer of thanksgiving for our Lord and for his body? Our Father, we thank you for sending your Son in our behalf, for he being made like unto us, a flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. And Father, it was your good pleasure to make him sin for us, for our sin to be imputed to his account and him to be punished so that his righteousness could be imputed to our account and we could be counted as well-pleasing in your sight, as holy as Christ is holy. We thank you for that. Amen. And after the bread, there was the cup, the law that stands opposed to us says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. You read through the Bible, it is a bloody book. Boy, sin brings death, and it's brought lots of it, and gallons of blood was shed in the Old Testament. All prefiguring that there's got to be this perfect lamb. This lamb without spot or blemish. Is there someone that can die in my stead and pay for our sin? And the Lord Jesus, before he went to the cross, he was praying and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He asked for a cup. "If it's possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, and yours be done." And so he drank the cup of God's wrath. And his blood was shed that came down from his head, from the crown of thorns, from the being struck on the head and hit in the face and whipped on the back and nailed to a tree and sword in the side. All of that blood shed, divine blood, pure blood of the spotless Lamb of God dying in the place of sinners. Because it should have been my blood. But oh, his is pure. And so just remember that we were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from the empty way of life handed to us from our forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot or blemish. So let's take an occasion to pray, to give thanks. And then I will cue us and we will drink together. And after the supper, he took a cup. And he said, "Drink from it, all of you, because this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Would anybody like to return a prayer of thanksgiving after our drinking of the cup?
Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus that washed our sins away, that we can come to you. And you hear our prayer because of the faith that you have given us, that we believe in your Son. We celebrate because of your love toward us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you so much, Lord, for giving up your body and your body being destroyed and shedding your blood so that I can be saved by grace and not by works. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and the life you led. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You know, when our Lord instituted this supper, and after they partook, it says, and then they sung a hymn. So we're gonna sing a hymn as we leave. It's kind of a tradition, but a good tradition. When we come to church, it's good to sing hymns. So we'll sing one stanza, Blessed Be the Tithe.
Be the tithe that binds our hearts.
Hope you were glad to be here today. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you, and may He watch over you, and you are dismissed. Amen.